good evening, guests, counselors, and staff. It's Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. Regular council meeting of the Region of Queens Municipality, 6 p.m. I'll call the meeting to order. Are there any changes or approval to the agenda? Do we have a change or approval to the agenda?
I do, Madam Chairperson. Can I add one late item under discussion at the very end there? Is the new provincial mandatory vaccination policy. There's some implications for council meetings, so if we could just explain that at the very end of the discussion, if you wish.
Everyone's agreeable with that? Okay, okay, so 8.9, vaccination is per council. Mm-hmm. Any other additions? And we are recording our meeting, and I remind people to please turn off any cellular device they may have. So back with the addition of 8.9 vaccinations as per the recent announcement and what we found out about council meetings, mover for the motion for agenda to be adopted, moved by Councilor Charlton, seconded by Councilor Gidney. All those in favor? Passed. Any petitions to be tabled? No. Public question comment session. I ask anyone that wishes to address council to please keep their comments brief to a maximum of 5 minutes. Please give your name and civic address if you wish to address council. Anyone in our gallery wish to address council?
Dave Haskins, 160 Church Street. My question is, I see where Pete Matter said it's a new walkway or something.
Yes.
Is there any possibility in the future of ever doing the one back in Hunts Point?
So, Mr. Huskins, as you know, Beach Meadows Beach is owned by the Region of Queens. Mm-hmm. Hunts Point Beach is owned by provincial government mm-hmm. and private landowner. So all I can tell you is Deputy Mayor Muse and I have been having some discussions which would come forward in next year's budget if we were successful in our endeavors.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Any other comments? If not, we'll move ahead to approval of the minutes of the regular council, September 14th, 2021. Is there a mover for those minutes? Moved by Councilor Hawk, seconded by Councilor Brown. All those in favor? Thank you. 6.1, we have a presentation of an agricultural sector review, which has been completed by Richard Lane of our staff body. And basically this is before you, because we look at our tourism sector, we often look at our business sector, but we've never really looked at our agricultural sector, what is there, what do we know about it. So the hope for this evening is, as we've all have pre-read this and we may have questions, Mr. Lane will present his report, any pertinent questions, clarification you have this evening, please ask him, and then this will be coming back on our next council agenda as a discussion point. So it's step one tonight is for clarification. Any questions you may have, please ask them of Mr. Lane tonight, so that when it comes back as a discussion, your simple questions have already been answered, and we'll all have enough knowledge to have a full body informed discussion around this matter.
Thank you, Mayor Norman, councillors, good evening. So, as the mayor says, I was was asked to prepare a sector review for agriculture in Queen's County. And the report is the fruits of that. Just as a preface, for anyone who doesn't know me so well, I have an 80-acre farm in Caledonia, and when we moved here in 2007, our intention was to earn an income from the farm. So a lot of the points that I'm talking about tonight, I have got direct experience and a personal perspective on agriculture in Queen's County. So I was asked to prepare the review, and there were a number of points to be covered. And so what I've done is some slides which just really pull out some of the salient points of the report. So the sections are on registered farms and farmland. You know, what is farmland? What is a farm? Talk a little about available land and prospective farmland. Talk about farm revenues, employment, and economic impact. Talk a little about the climate data study that was carried out between 2011 and 2015. A section on training, advice, and funding, particularly for new entrants or for farmers who are looking for particular knowledge or expertise in a piece of the sector. A section on the current agricultural enterprises in Queens, which we'll come to that. A strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats analysis, again at a fairly high level. And then some recommendations. Now these are less recommendations in a formal sense of the word. They're really more thoughts about future work within the sector. You'll notice with the depth of the printed material that I also included three appendices to the report. The first one is a series of maps of Queen's County, which shows the assessed agricultural lands at 5 years intervals between 2011, 2016, and 2021. Appendix B is a profile of agricultural land resources in Queens, which was prepared by the Department of Agriculture. That primarily talks about soil quality classification and land use, and gives a fairly technical analysis of what agriculture in Queens County looks like. And then Appendix C is a statistical profile of Queen's County, which were prepared by the Nova Scotia Federation of Agriculture in 2014, which talks more about the economic profile of agriculture within Queen's. Although that was written in 2014, it's mostly still correct. You know, as you probably realize, things in farming don't tend to change terribly quickly. So we'll go through the slides. You've had a chance, I guess, to read the report. So I'm not going to go through it in great depth. I will pull out some of the points, and then, as the mayor says, be available for questions. So farms and farmland. There is a difference between assessed agricultural land and a registered farm. Now, the Property Valuation Services Corporation, PVSC, according to their records, we have about 155 parcels of assessed agricultural land, which totals 8,394 acres thereabouts. This is land which is, according to their assessment, is agricultural land, and it's taxed accordingly. That's different from a registered farm. Okay, I'll come back to that difference because it is fairly crucial. So we have the parcel of agricultural land, but we also have 22 actual registered farms in Queen's County. That number, as you might expect, has dropped in 2016. This is census data. In 2016 there were 34, and in 2011 there were 37. I was probably one of the 37. So currently 22 registered farms. So the first question that many people would have would be, well, who are those 22 registered farms and where are they and what do they do? And I can't tell you, because that information is confidential, because by certain of those farms, because of the low number, would be identified by that information. And you know, for a similar reason that we can't report on certain tourism statistics, because it identifies the business, this is the same reason. However, you know, anecdotally, we've got a pretty good idea of who those 22 are, certainly the major players. The average farm size in Queen's County is 296 acres, but really 10 to 69 acres is the most common. And so on the chart on page one, you'll see the breakdown from the census data in 2011-2016 of the numbers of different farm sizes. And really, if you add farms under 10 acres and farms 10 to 69 acres, you're really talking at, you know, at least half of the number of farms, really. And that's, it's offset by a number of larger ones. So the farm registration program, and this is what differentiates a registered farm and not. So the Nova Scotia Department of Agriculture administers the farm registration program, and they define it as a voluntary annual program that provides managed access to government programs by farm businesses, collection of farm information to develop agricultural policy, and to provide stable funding for the Nova Scotia Federation of Agriculture. So you can, there's a form online for Access Nova Scotia where you can effectively self-identify as a farm. There used to be minimum revenue requirements for becoming a farm. I don't see that in the regulations anymore. I think it's more of an expectation. It used to be that within 3 years you would be reporting an income of at least $10,000. There is a fee to do so, and for farms under $30,000 revenue per year, the fee is about $175, I believe. That goes up to about $975, depending on the level of revenue for the farm. You also have to state what agricultural operations you are carrying out in order to register. But it's not a particularly onerous application. And it does certainly give you certain advantages. There are discounts on lab services provided by Perennia. You can apply for farm registration plates for vehicles that are for sole use on a farm. And theoretically, at least, you can access untaxed fuel. So there are certain advantages to doing so, but there is a fee attached to it. So available agricultural land, we don't have a source for what would be counted or could be counted as agricultural land. Anecdotally, as you travel around the province, you can see lands that were formerly agricultural and have generally grown up with pasture pine. There's a particular land form that once you have your eye in, you can see those fields that were previously fields that have grown up in trees. But we don't have, there is no way of saying how much potential agricultural land there is in Queen's County. So the land that is agricultural, the Canadian Land Inventory defines soils by their quality. And that goes on a scale between 1 and 7. Nova Scotia has no class 1 soils. Okay, so just everything that I say in this, you have to keep in perspective the fact that overall, Nova Scotia isn't that great a place to do agriculture. Okay, it has no class 1 soils. The ones of most importance to us are classes 2, 3, and 4. And those are soils that are deemed suitable for agriculture. It's not to say that you can't do agriculture on soils 5, 6, and 7, but it's going to be a deal more difficult. Land suitable for agriculture, as in classes 2, 3, and 4, covers less than 1% of Queen's County. And of that 1%, we're using about 4%. So the amount of land which is actually in agricultural use, which could be in agricultural use, is a tiny percentage. Okay? Queen's has no class 2 soils, and it only has less than 1% of the province's class 3 and 4 soils. Queen's has the smallest amount of arable land in the province. So when you look at this, it sounds a fairly bleak picture, but these, as I say, you have to put a lot of this into context. The definition of arable land, for example, is arable land is land which is available for tillage. Okay, so in the strict definition of the sense, arable land wouldn't be land which is permanently to pasture. It would be land which was temporarily in rotation for pasture and then laying fallow for a period of up to 5 years. Longer than that, it's no longer arable land. Okay, so there are certain statistics in here which paint a bleaker picture than really. If you're interested in doing agriculture in Queen's County, there's a way. Okay, where there's a will, there's a way. It just might be more difficult. And I think it's fairly clear from the Department of Agriculture reports that, you know, Queen's has comparable soils with its neighbours. There are some things that we just cannot do, but we are using only a small fraction of the amount of the land which is potential for agriculture. So I think, you know, it's safe to say that the agriculture industry isn't limited by land availability, and really land availability and land affordability are two of the really positive benefits for Queen's. Farm revenues, employment and economic impact. Okay, so with only 4% used in agriculture compared with the Nova Scotia average of 13%, agriculture is not a dominant industry in Queen's County currently. Okay, when you look back at the historical records, I've looked from the records for North Queen's that they hold at the Heritage House Museum. The area of North Queen's was a huge producer of agricultural goods which were shipped out from the Port of Liverpool. But the pattern of agriculture has changed over that time. The land forms that we have in Queen's County are less suitable for mechanized row cropping, for example, which at one time, if you were tilling back with animal or human power, the size of the fields fitted and so on. That's just less of a case nowadays than it was then. There's just a little bit of information there. Even though it's not a dominant industry, we're still talking about revenues of over $1 million a year, and that was back in 2010. So, you know, I mean, it's not an insignificant industry. But 19 of those 37 farms that were in the 2011 census reported farm receipts under $10,000. Okay. And then in terms of jobs, it's somewhere in the region of 1.63% of all jobs in the southern region. And it's the similar picture where a lot of these statistics are reported in a regional basis rather than drilled down to Queen's County, just because of a lack of specificity. Anyhow, it's not just about soils. Climate has a lot to do with agriculture and the potential for agriculture. And so in 2011, Queen's County took part in the Southwest Nova Climate Study, which was organised by the Community Business Development Corporations of Yarmouth, Shelburne and Lunenburg, Queen's, together with the Agricultural Research Group in the Valley and Perennia, which is the provincial subject matter experts. They used to be the Extension Service. So a 5-year study or at least it was extended to 5 years, which saw 74 weather stations throughout the region, which reported on a whole raft of climate information in some of that are written on the slide there. And overall, it actually painted not that bad a picture. For example, the winter kill data, so the winter minimum temperatures, were actually higher in southwest Nova than they were in the valley, which meant that for viniculture, for grape growing, for example, there were varieties of grapes which were killed in the winter if you planted them in the valley, but there was a chance of success in southwest Nova. And even more than that, you know, I've in the report there's a section which talks about inland, where it says, even more exciting were a number of truly exceptional sites located on the coast or in the deep interior that continued to show superior climate data in spite of challenging conditions. So that climate data study was certainly more favorable than previously thought, and it some of that data continues to be collected, but the report itself is still available. We have it on our website, and the address is in the report here. Training, advice, and funding. So if you're a prospective farmer, somebody who's always wanted to do something agricultural, where would you start? So I've listed in here, I'm not going to go through it in great depth, but in Nova Scotia, we're pretty well off for training, advice, and funding. Probably the first place to start would be Think Farm, which is a website and resources that were created by the Department of Agriculture specifically for the purpose of new entrants. They have a whole series of guides and information on there. The Department of Agriculture itself, which has 5 regional offices, they carry out extension services, business development, and outreach. We have staff which cover Queen's County. Perennia Food and Agriculture, as I say, they used to be AgriPoint, they used to be the extension service, and really they are the main place to go if you're looking for specific information about, if you need to know about specific pests, or if you need to know about specific topsoil treatments, if you need market research data on keeping a particular kind of livestock. Perennia has a really extensive list of staff who you can consult with, and they are there to answer your questions. Nova Scotia Business Inc., NSBI, have always taken an active interest in agricultural enterprises, but particularly where it involves export. That's NSBI's particular take on things. So if you have an industry that you're planning to add value to your farm product and are looking for markets for it, NSBI can be really helpful in finding where those markets might be. And then the final two on here that I mentioned, I've mentioned the CBDC, the Community Business Development Corporations. And in Queens, obviously, we're covered by South Shore Opportunities, as our local CBDC. They exist to carry out business advice. They'll help you work through a business plan if you have ideas for farming. They also make small loans if that's what you're looking for. And then the final one on the list is Farmworks. So Farmworks is Farmworks Investment Cooperative Limited. Was created to specifically address concerns about Nova Scotia food security. And they do that primarily by lending money. And the way that they raise money, they are a community economic development investment fund. So they sell shares to raise money and then invest that money in agricultural operations. And so they are very grassroots. They have a really good handle on the kinds and types of industry that are doing well, and they can certainly help and advise if if you have a particular agricultural idea. And they're not strictly to do with farming. They because they have an interest in food security, if your idea involves really anything to do with food security that doesn't necessarily strictly need to be farm-based, FarmWorks is the place to go and talk to. Current agricultural enterprises in Queens. This is where it comes into the definition of farm, okay? What constitutes a farm? What constitutes a farmer? If I grow a quarter of an acre of garlic in my backyard, am I a farmer? I might sell it at the farmer's market. Am I a farm? The only sense that we have in Queens is based on registered farms, because there is no other definition. Yet we know that there's a whole bunch of people who are carrying out agricultural enterprises separate and additional to those 22 registered farms. Some of those 22 registered farms produce no agricultural output, okay? So there's plenty of people who produce agricultural output and they're not a registered farm. So this is where we, when we talk about agricultural industry in Queens County, the waters can get a little bit muddied. I will mention that Christmas trees are currently considered an agricultural enterprise because of their slightly temporary nature. Otherwise, forestry and farming are generally seen as two separate things. Christmas trees have always kind of fallen slightly in between the cracks. But certainly we have somewhat of a Christmas tree industry, and the Christmas tree industry and greenery is certainly a booming part of the global agricultural sector. Where else should we go? But yeah, I think, you know, really the overall picture, other than a few notable exceptions, is where, you know, many people keep a few hens, meat birds, a couple of pigs, beef cattle, grow a garden, or they bake extra to sell locally. And I think there's probably more food security in Queens County than really we're aware of. There's a lot of this flies under the radar because of concerns of regulation and so on. You know, there are people who would rather just produce for themselves than go and take what they're doing to another level and become an actual enterprise and grow their business that way. I think the other point to make here is that there are relatively few markets for produce in Queens, and what I mean by that isn't so much that we've got farmers markets. We do. We have the Liverpool Privateer Farmers Market and the market in Caledonia, which is on a bit of a hiatus just at the moment. But the issue is more one around supplying other outlets, whether that be restaurants, cafes, or supermarkets, for example. And all of these have got quite significant issues when you have a small farm. And we can talk about that as much as you like. So just at a very high level, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. We have strengths, we have affordable land, we have available land. We have some weaknesses, however. The unsuitable topography, as I mentioned, field sizes for mechanized row cropping. We have a seasonal climate despite, you know, somewhat ameliorated winter conditions, but, you know, at the end of the day, it does get cold in the winter and it's very difficult to grow things. We have aging infrastructure. A lot of the barns and the fences and so on belong to a different age. We have an aging demographic, although, you know, that's again anecdotally, that's something which could be contested. There's certainly a lot of young people who have an interest in agricultural enterprise, and Queens is probably a really great place for them to do that. And then distance to market centres, obviously. You know, if you're trying to sell where the money is, you're gonna have to get in your truck and take produce to one of the farm markets somewhere else. There are opportunities. We have no major competition. There are no, you know, very few major producers. I think probably the biggest opportunity of all is to do with agritourism and experiential tourism, coupled with that lifestyle piece. I always said, you know, you're unlikely to be able to get your tractor in to till a row of carrots, but there are plenty of people who would pay to watch you do the same with your horse-drawn or ox-drawn wagon and then sell them a slice of farm-grown carrot cake as they pass through the door on their way out. Threats, the global food system, we can't get away from it. Food security in Nova Scotia can't be addressed in any substantial fashion whilst it's cheaper to import foodstuffs from around the globe than it is to produce here. Threats from other Nova Scotia competitors, so there are no major local competitors, but there are Nova Scotia ones. And then I've put home production as well, because one of the things that certainly we found when we were growing and trying to sell produce in and around Caledonia was that everybody grew a garden. So trying to sell tomatoes and zucchini and cucumbers when everybody else was trying to offload them is just it's not so much a threat as it's a competitor, I guess. And then some recommendations, like I say, some thoughts as we go forward. So we've been in a collaborative effort to put on an annual agriculture day since its inception. And that has proven really popular. We generally get 150 people turn out with a series of speakers all day on a number of topics, both for new entrants, for dreamers, and for existing farmers. We haven't been able to do that for the last 2 years because of the pandemic. It was due to be in Queen's County the last time, and so if we're allowed to host it again, we would aim to have that back in Queen's County, hopefully in March 2022. If we can't do so, we have had talks, again regionally, about producing a video series, maybe, you know, covering some of the same sorts of topics as Agriculture Day would. Otherwise, we can support and promote agricultural events hosted by others, so that includes things like Open Farm Day, the Agricultural Ministers Conference, which happen each year. Think Farm, certainly, and the Department of Agriculture have a series of webinars, as do Perennia. And then, so the other thing about this is really that when we say that there's affordable and available agricultural land, one of the hardest things is to find that land, because it's very rarely listed with realtors. It's land which is available is often known by word of mouth, for example. And so we've long thought, how can we get to a point where we can help promote land which is available? And so one of the pieces of work that we've been looking at is being able to map commercial property, and maybe it's a matter of looking at agricultural property within that. And then just to leave you with the thought here is that perhaps the greatest opportunity in agriculture remains the potential to attract newcomers to Queen's with the promise of affordable property with acreage, allowing part-time or supplementary income to be made whilst testing markets for products. A small proportion of these will develop into fully commercial operations, and we can ensure that supports exist and are known about for those people. With that, I shall open for questions.
That was very good, Richard, and you put a lot of time in this presentation, in this research. Questions, comments, understanding that this will be a further discussion point, but general questions, comments, clarifications? Counselor Fancy.
Okay, it's got a few things, but I'll just, like, you know, we'll wait on to the next time around when we start talking about things. I know one of the problems when we talked about this before, but was the age of the farmers in general. I mean, that there's very few young farmers. They're getting old, and they're not being taken up by the children, and they're going to be coming to an end at some time. So, so we're getting into a bad state in that way. So that's what one thing I remembered as. I remember one of the last agricultural days I was to, the fellow down there in Bridge, where they saw Bridgewater coming towards here, we're down by the Tasty Freezer, the market up there on the hill.
Yep, yep.
He said he took a half acre of land and planted
Honeycrisp. Yep.
And he makes $20,000 a year off that half acre of land from those trees. So now, just so there's great opportunities. So when I looked through here and I see when you talked about the current commercial agriculture enterprises, I noticed that one thing isn't mentioned there is apples. That used to be the big thing here. I mean, Morton's down there had all those apple trees. There used to be so many apple orchards, they've just gone away. So I don't know if the enterprise, if there's the money isn't there, is the culture changed, or what's happened that we've lost that?
I think, you know, so there's a number of things in what you bring up here. I think it's a combination of market stagnation for things like adoption of new varieties. You know, if the driver to either rip out varieties of orchards if you were previously an orchardist is obviously a huge investment. If you're starting from scratch, you can afford to do that on a small scale, test the market. So I think that's one thing. If you do anything on a commercial scale, you have to think about labour. You have to think about how you're going to manage that. And that has that. Once you take things above the level of hobby farm, small home gardens, mixed farm, when you take things to the next level, it brings in a whole range of different things that you need to think about. Things like labour, about mechanisation. It's a big investment in terms of mechanical infrastructure. So I think the taking the step for Glenn Head, that things are slightly different. He's got an established operation, and he's got land where he could try certain things and see how they went. I think the other point that you make about aging demographics is one thing that I was really encouraged by, really, on at Agriculture Day, was the number of younger people who were along to that. You know, when we first started Agriculture Day, the very first one was actually aimed at investors potentially in the berry market coming out from Halifax, and that's really our target audience for that very first one. But subsequently, at that one, and then subsequently, we found that there was a huge amount of interest in agriculture, and from younger people. I think elsewhere in the world, or even elsewhere in Canada, matching available land with young people is a really difficult thing to do because of the price of agriculture. The Niagara region for wineries, the price of land is astronomical. So unless you're in a farming family and you're looking to take over that farm, getting into the industry is extremely expensive. Whereas Southwest Nova, we could be advertising to that same region, and we've actually done this. We've put targeted Facebook ads aimed at that particular demographic in the Niagara region to advertise the fact that there is available, affordable land in Southwest Nova.
Questions, comments?
Is marijuana classified as farming now?
Sorry, say again?
The marijuana plants, are they classified as farming?
That's a good question. I would say that it's an agricultural enterprise. I don't think that anything indoors, like an aquaponics, would actually be a registered farm. So again, it's where those definitions kind of fall down a little bit. You know, is it a produce? Yes, absolutely. But is it a registered farm? Probably not.
Yeah. See, down in Lunenburg, I just heard recently, they've got a shared farming project going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it looks like they've got around 150 acres and they're allowing people to use a portion of that to set up a farm. And do you know who is behind that?
There's a couple of initiatives, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one you're referring to, but so a couple of the agriculture days, we had people talk coming in for the particular one that sticks in my mind is from Quebec, and they were doing exactly that. And I think a lot of the people who were at agriculture day got very inspired by that idea.
Right.
That if you have a portion of land, you can effectively manage it as a cooperative.
But would that be done like by their region, or is it done on a private basis?
I think it was done on a private basis, if it's the one that I'm thinking of. But I know that the region, MODL, had been looking at sort of demonstration farm type projects as well.
If there's no other questions, we'll look forward to further discussion. I think the fact when we couple with our climate data study, which if you've read it and if you're not familiar with it, I highly recommend that everyone read that. Acadia, they were astounded at our frost-free days, at our days above dew point, above so many things. We have climate.
Yes.
We may not have soil, but we can build soil. When you look at greenhouses, and 15, 20 years ago, large-scale greenhouses cost a fortune to operate. There's all types of new inventions in greenhouses. You build them mostly underground. You build them in the sides of hills, facing so forth. So, and with our land price affordable, our land availability, I believe that Queens does have potential to attract either small-scale agriculture, people looking for offset their lifestyle, food security. So we'll look forward to a further discussion, and perhaps between now and our next council, everyone can just do a little bit more digging and do a little bit more research into what agriculture today looks like in other parts of Canada, and what perhaps we can do, because as we know as a council, we want to grow our citizen number, we want to grow our business number, and we want to make good use of our land. So thank you, Ms. Wayne.
I just want to, one small fact that the heat pump people try to push forward is we're the second best place in Canada in the area around the South Shore of minus 15 days.
Yes.
In the winter.
Yeah.
And
this
so so it's great for heat pumps because you never get down below the minus 15 or very few days.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Safe drive home.
Yeah.
Thank you.
7.1. I call Ms. Zeno, Director of Corporate Services. 7.1 deals with a matter we had dealt with previously, knowing that we were going to look at applying or getting debentures. So this is another step forward. So Ms. Vino?
So as you all know, in July I was here and I asked for a temporary borrowing resolution so that we could go ahead with our request for a debenture. And typically what would happen is I would send that resolution to the Department of Municipal Affairs where it will be approved by the minister. But as you all know, we've had some changes in government lately, so all of those things have been delayed. So I was speaking to Babadou at the MFC, and he told me that what I could do is I could get
to approve the resolution, excuse me, without the actual, if you look at the commitment letter, you'll see under TBR number, it has an XX. So you can pre-approve the debenture, and then what will happen is I will send this commitment letter to the MFC, the Municipal Finance Corporation, along with your resolution for pre-approval, and we will be able to participate in the fall debenture so that we can reimburse the reserve, which is where we had the, where we funded the sewer project from last fiscal year.
And this debenture is a 10-year repayable?
It is a 10-year repayable, yes, and it was included in the budget. And it will start being repaid in next fiscal year. So not in this fiscal year, but the fiscal year that starts April 1st, 2022.
So there is a recommendation, Councilor Charlton?
I move that Council of Regent Kings Municipality approves the pre-approval form as attached, file 21-22-01, in the amount of $507,757 for the Brooklyn Sewer Water Project.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Is there any further questions? Ms. Vino?
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but when we pay back these debentures, does this come out of the sewer revenues, or does this come out of general revenue?
It comes out of the, it's classified as the environmental health sector,
okay.
So the revenues are in the environmental health revenues, and then the expenses are in the environmental health expenses. So it's not, I mean, yes and no, it's not really that fine. We keep them all separately so that we can see this is how much money we make from collecting from the sewer charges, and then at the expenditure end you have a lot more of environmental health than just the sewer,
right?
The capital projects, but the capital projects don't end up on our statement of operations. They end up as tangible capital assets, so we depreciate them over time,
right,
rather than the year that they're done. The debt, however, is on our expenditure list, so that gets repaid over the 10 years.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? If not, I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.2, the Penland Community Development Coordinator, as she comes forward, there is a recommendation in the package. Councilor Giddens?
I recommend that the Council of Regent Queens Municipality agree to waive policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipally owned properties at the request of Privateer Farmers Market at Centennial Park, Liverpool, on Saturdays from October 1st to October 9th, 2021. That the applicant be required to submit proof of insurance in no less than $2 million per occurrence, but the Regent Queens Municipality has additional insured and a copy of the effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia to the region, that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws are be strictly adhered to.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. Ms. Henry. Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Henley? I will just make a note and say that on Saturday I was talking to Brian Seville, and at that point in time, he said the market was going to go ahead as long as weather allowed.
Mm-hmm.
This will restrict them to 2 days. I'm not sure, we did not hear any official word from the farmers market, but this does strictly affect them to those 2 dates. So if they do their plan and go ahead as long as weather allows, they'll have to come back to have this extended. Just a point.
And yet, to your point, they were saying the same thing. That's what I was talking to them. They were going along as the weather went. They're saying they just went for 2 weeks because this was going to be the end of the season. It's not going to be the end of the season.
We've not received any official word, so we'll leave it as is. This may be back in front of us again to simply reword to the end of their 2021 season. Councilor Charlton?
That has been discussed. Could we amend that just to say from October 1st to the end of their season, providing it's within the 2021 year.
There could be an amendment to that, simply changing October 9th, 2021 to end of their 2021 season.
I can make that amendment.
It's amended. The motion has been amended by Councilor Charlton to read October 1st to end of their 2021 season. Is there a seconder on the amendment? Councilor Romero? Any discussion or questions on the amendment? If not, I'll ask for a vote on the motion as on the amended motion.
Just the amendment.
All those in favor of the amendment? All those in favor as of the motion as amended? Passed. So we will notify them of that change and the reason why. 7.3, at our last council meeting, this was a discussion point, and it was placed forward. I was referred to this present council meeting. There was consensus of all was in agreement. So this is now before us as a motion, and there is a recommendation in the package if somebody would like to make it. Councilor Hawks.
I recommend the council of the Regional Queens Municipality approve the naming of existing drive off Peters Point Road in South Brookfield as Edith Point Road.
And then seconded by Councilor Brown. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.4, again brought forward from discussion from our last council meeting. There is a recommendation in the package. Councilor would like to make that recommendation. Councilor Brown?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agree to accept a donation from Jennifer Inglis of a granite memorial bench, and that the bench be placed in a mutually agreeable location at Privateer Park, with the future maintenance being responsibility of the municipality.
And that is seconded by Councilor Charlton. There was discussion at last council's meeting on this point. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'm ready to ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Queens Accessibility Advisory Committee, again, another matter being brought forward from past council meeting. Councilor Gidney.
I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality provide grant funding to TAC Autism.
Nope. No, you went ahead.
You went ahead of us. Just jump back to 7.5. Appointment of Janine Stewart. He's eager.
I was too excited.
I know, you're eager. You're just too excited. Okay, 7.5.
You need sugar.
I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality appoint Janie Stewart to the Accessibility Advisory Committee.
Thank you. Seconded by Councilor Brown. And it's again, it's brought forward from last. This fills there's one remaining position. It's in actually a discussion point. So all those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Miss Henley, Community Development Coordinator, if you come forward again. There is a recommendation within the package, and I believe this is the one Councilor Gidney. So we will be patient and wait for you.
I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality provide grant funding to PhD Autism Nova Scotia Society up to the amount of $111,773 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund as per their submitted application.
And this is seconded by Councilor Amaro, whose district this is in.
Oh, yes.
Ms. Henley.
So we received a application, authorized application from the PAC Autism Nova Scotia Society. Their request met policy, and we've made the recommendation that came forward.
Exactly. And last council had also discussion of a smaller amount, because the anticipated amount that the Autism Society was going to raise was anticipated lower. But because, thanks to that local fundraising spirit sitting over there, a great effort was put in and more monies were received. So this is the amount of monies that they are indeed eligible for.
Yes.
So I think we're all very looking forward to the establishment of that playground.
Yes.
Any questions or comments of Ms. Henley? Councilor Brown?
This was an item in the last budget, and I think it was in the 90-some thousand dollar range. But the time ran out for the end of the year, and that money went back to our operating reserve, I believe it was. So all of the money this year, does it come out of the new community investment fund, or does some of that transfer back out of last year's reserve with the excess coming out of this year's community investment fund?
First, we'll use the operating, what the funds available within the operating fund. So first, we'll use up the $175,000 in this year's operating. Mm. If we have more in our next one, we'll have more than what we had allotted in the operating budget.
I was just concerned that if we take $111,000 out of the $175,000, then other organizations may fall short, but that explains it. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? If not, I'm going to ask for the vote. All those in favor? Passed. Forget it. Gotta wait till it gets done.
No, it doesn't matter.
We're all waiting.
Yeah.
7.7, Community Investment Fund. Again, there is a recommendation within the package. Councillor Charlton?
I move that the Council of Regent of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to the Liverpool Curling Club in the amount of $9,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund as per their submitted application.
Seconded by Councillor Gidden. Ms. Henley.
Again, an application was received from the Folk Curling Club. They have a whole capital plan. They're doing multiple different renovations, but what they applied for us was for, it's a new product that's available within Canada, and it covers the entire sheet of ice. So from end to end, all the white, all the rings, all the lines, it covers everything, rather than what they did in the past was they would take their ice out, they would spray down their floors with high pressure washer and then scrape paint off, and that helped a lot of the time. So they're going to go with this product, like a mesh product, like we would use for the in-ice logos at Queen's Place. And their hopes are that is they have lasted in other facilities for over 10 years, and that's their hope as well. So they're going to try to save money and countless volunteer hours in
efficiency and recycling.
Yes. And a lot of environmental waste.
Right. Councillor Pansy?
Yes, so when it's a new project, it's only 25%, but since this is a new item, but it's still something that's doing from an old project, so it goes up to 50%. Is that how it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? I'll ask for the motion to vote. All those in favor? Passed. 7.8. There is a recommendation within the packet. Councillor Amaro?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality give first reading to a bylaw respecting a civic holiday.
Seconded by Councillor Charlton. Discussion. Councillor Gideon.
I just have a question that I don't quite understand. Why is this a bylaw and not an amendment to Operation Policy Number 18?
I believe to declare civic holidays, there has to be a bylaw under our Municipal Government Act.
That's correct. I'm not sure what Policy 18 is, but if you look in the report.
Policy Number 18 is holidays?
Oh, yeah. And so that's a little different. So what the Municipal Government Act in the report says on the second page, the applicable legislation says section 172.1H of the Municipal Government Act states that a council may make bylaws for municipal purposes respecting the appointment of a day for a civic holiday.
Okay, so
we don't have the authority to make a policy. If we do it, we have to do it by bylaw.
So for example, Victoria Day is I'm just trying to determine what the difference is. So if it's a holiday, Victoria Day's a holiday, Canada Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Remembrance Day. So why not this day? Like, I just don't understand what the difference is.
The difference is we're proclaiming the holiday in this particular case with the bylaw. The other ones, other governments have proclaimed them. Our policy just says we allow our staff to have those days off as a holiday. We're not actually proclaiming the ones in the policy. Another government is. In this particular case, we're the only one proclaiming this holiday.
So you're claiming just for the municipality, for the region of, just for the municipality employees?
That's correct.
Okay.
And with the bylaw, this would be the first reading. So there's time available for public comment. It'll come back for the second reading. Bylaws get posted for review, and then off they go to the province for approval. Any other questions on this bylaw? Proposed bylaw? If not, I'm going to ask for the vote. All those in favor?